This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and to make our regular listeners happy, my husband Chris is here.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. To folks who are new to the show, because we've had some new listeners lately, on Saturdays, we answer your questions or dive into your topics, and my husband joins us, and my baby as well, because you are holding the boy.
I am. Hopefully he falls asleep and doesn't cause a ruckus.
But if he does, remember, all the hate mail goes to Christopher@primalpotential.com.
I still don't get hate
good,
mail.
Good. I like it that way. I don't want you getting hate mail.
I got one bit of fan mail once, too.
Well, congratulations.
And I'm holding on to that. I got it framed.
Do you know what today is?
Today is Saturday.
Yeah, but do you know what episode this is?
Episode 900.
Yes, you did know. Oh, because I sent it in the email. I forgot about that.
No,
But it's actually episode like 970-something.
Right, because you have so many unnumbered ones.
Yeah, I know. If I could go back, listen, PSA to anybody who is going to start a podcast, don't number your episodes. It's not necessary. I mean, it definitely makes it easier to be able to be like, oh, that's episode blah, 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 blah. Right. But the fact is you're never going to remember anyway, because when people say, what was the episode number where you talked about blah, 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 I'm like, I have no idea. Good luck.
Title it. The one titled Eating for Champs. I mean.
Oh, my gosh. He's so wide awake, and he should not be wide awake.
It's because he loves Dad.
You were a little disappointed that I gave you a public ration of pooey.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't go on Instagram enough for it to matter.
You never go on Instagram.
Maybe once in a while.
So for those of you that don't follow me on Instagram, and if you don't, you should, because that's kind of where I share my life stuff, at Elizabeth Benton over on Instagram. I shared a couple days ago. Well, let me tell you the story.
God.
We have a pool. It's a new thing.
Here comes the hate mail.
No. I squashed that fast. We have a pool, and it has been rare than I've gotten to go out there because just baby. But the other day you had Roman, and I donned my swimsuit, and I was going to go out to the
Which
pool.
Which I told her she didn't have to do.
Oh, with put the swimsuit on? Yeah, right. Because your buddy was going to come over, and I'm like, I'm not.
She could have gone sans bathing suit, but no. No. My wife, the prude.
So, put on my bathing suit, and it was like a halter with like a clasp, so I needed Chris to clasp the thing behind my neck. And I said in a laughing way, I was like, well, this fits differently than the last time I wore the suit, which was before, I think, both pregnancies.
I think so.
And, it was snug. It was definitely snug. To which Chris lovingly replies, that's because you're beefy. Beefy. Yeah, beefy. The things that we don't say. But he made a very, very good counterpoint. He said, if you called me beefy, would that be an insult? And I think, no, if I called you beefy, that would not be an insult. But I mean, just on the list of like things I want to be called, just for your future reference, beefy is not on the list.
Be less beefy.
Wow. Wow.
It's a muscle thing, folks. It's not... It's
you mean it muscular, and I'm saying I have put on no muscle over the last two pregnancies.
Oh, I disagree.
Anyway, people were rallying to my defense, but people were also laughing.
Well, the worst part was it was in a story or a reel or whatever the heck those things are on Instagram, so it wasn't like I could interact with everybody and defend myself. It
no,
was
you
just,
didn't need to. You didn't need to.
Chris is a dick, and attack him.
No. All right. So we have... some questions. You want me to take him?
No, it's okay. I was just trying to calm him down by standing up.
Let me tell you what we're giving away today.
I bet you were giving away a book.
And you can't bounce because I'm on the ball and you're not on the ball.
I'm never on the ball.
I'm going to give away two things today. We're going to give away a signed copy of Chasing Cupcakes as well as a signed Changemakers Journal. Signed Changemakers Journal.
Signed by me.
No. Well, we could. We could have it signed by three of us, but no, signed by me. And if you want it to be signed by Chris, we can arrange that as well.
Put it in your email.
Yeah.
Only fan mail.
We will announce
fans only.
The winners of those two things, signed Chasing Cupcakes, signed Changemakers Journal. It doesn't matter where in the world you live, I will send it to you. And yeah, just listen to the end of the show and we'll announce the winner.
That All is right. getting picked up pretty well in the microphone.
Oh, the padding?
Yeah. She's beating him, folks. She's beating him.
No, I'm just patting him on the back so that he goes to sleep. We switched. All right, let's dive into the first question.
Yes. The other day you shared that you enjoy midday squares, and it feels like a treat or dessert to you. My question is, how do you stop at just one? Well, folks, let me tell you, because I made the mistake today.
Chris had four.
I'm eating four of them.
Oh, my gosh. Literally,
four, not four packages, two, but two packages, four squares. Oops.
2 seconds ago? Like 2 seconds before we came down here, we were actually talking about midday squares because Chris was like,
they're pretty good.
Chris comes home.
All
and
I
goes,
ate today.
Chris comes home and he goes, what do you want to do for dinner? And I was like, well, I saw you put chicken thighs like to thaw in the sink. And he goes, oh, I was going to make those for lunch for the week. And I said, oh, okay. He goes, I grabbed some of those squares from the drawer, two packs. And I was like, you had four squares? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. That's a lot. Like,
so am I not going to be hungry for dinner?
No, probably not. Okay. I'm going to answer the question. How do I stop at just one since Chris ate four?
Clearly can't.
What I'm going to tell you what they are first. So I shared this maybe on social media. I was influenced to buy these midday squares. This was one of my breastfeeding shopping excursions.
Well, thank you, whoever the influencer was,
I know,
because
okay.
I enjoyed them.
Here's
all
what
four
happened.
Of them today.
This woman that I follow posted that she loved midday squares and she had a coupon code. So I was like, okay, clearly she's an affiliate. So you never know with those kinds of things. But I was like, I'll try it because they were chocolate peanut butter and they looked like, did your mom ever make, my mom never did, but I was always so excited when somebody's mom did the like, do you know what, they're like a layered bar of like peanut butter and confectioner
peanut
sugar and something crunchy like graham cracker and then chocolate on top.
Mom did.
Oh, my mom didn't.
My mom loved me.
My mom didn't want me to be fat. It didn't work. But that's what they look like. They look like those peanut butter bars. And honestly, I personally like them better than peanut butter cups because they're not that like sicky sweet kind of thing.
I'm going to stop you right there.
No, they're like legit dessert-like. They're not protein bar-like.
I agree. I think the peanut butter is not as sweet or isn't as good as like the Reese's, if we're going to throw a name out there.
Creamy.
But it's also because they don't add sugar. I'm sure they don't add sugar to their peanut butter like Reese's does.
The cool thing is they've got a lot of protein. They've got a lot of fiber. They're low carb. They're gluten-free. They're soy-free. All of those kinds of things. So anyway, I saw this person's code. I bought them. I bought like a small amount. Loved them. Bought a sample pack because you tried the chocolate ones and the chocolate peanut butter ones. There's also almond
today.
Ones.
Okay.
That you can try because I think you'll really like those. I'm a big fan of the chocolate peanut butter. So then I reached out and I was like, hey, can I have a coupon code? Because I really like these.
I enjoy
so, them. So I will put that in the show description for those of you who like chocolate peanut butter like I do. Anyway, to the question.
How do you stop at one?
So for me, this is about perspective because there was a time in my life where it would be like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And I opened the package. So I might as well have the second one. And this one thing won't hurt. I'll do better tomorrow. Blah, 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 blah. It's healthy. It's a healthy treat. You can create the story to have two for sure, or four or six or whatever. But you can also create a very different story. Now, in Chris's situation, you didn't even know.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. You just, whatever. But for me, my story is about who and how I want to be. Like one of my affirmations lately is I'm not average, right? And I lived in a very average way for a very long time. And by that, I mean I overate. That's pretty average. I didn't work out. That's pretty average. I slept in. I wasn't disciplined. Pretty average. And it makes me feel proud to say, you know what? I'm not average. And so I want to do the thing that is the right thing. And also now I really think about as well what example I want to set for this baby who should be asleep and is wide awake. But I really think about what I want him to see growing up. And I want him to see mom making really good choices. So then that comes down to, is this a really good choice? And a really good choice in most situations is not to go overboard. And so that might not be your perspective, but just know that in all situations, there's a perspective that you can choose, a story you can tell to talk you into keep going. And there's a perspective you can choose, a story you can tell to talk you into stopping. And we have to be aware of the fact that, sure, you can talk yourself into the dessert. You can talk yourself into hitting snooze. You can talk yourself into skipping the workout. You can talk yourself into overindulging. But there's a narrative that is available to you that will talk you into a very different choice. And that's really what it looks like to become a better thinker. And that's what I really work on every day. Am I perfect? God, no. But it's always an opportunity to do a little better. Roman agrees.
He does. And next time I will read the packages of food that you buy because, oops.
No worries.
Next question. How do I make lasting changes without making myself miserable?
Anything you're considering, if you're thinking about like it's going to make you miserable, then either your mindset sucks, and that's not a criticism, it's an opportunity to change it, or the change that you're considering is ridiculous. Because, like, okay, I'll give you an example. I don't like running. Okay. That of all the forms of exercise out there, running is like the last one I would pick. Therefore, when I'm considering what I'm going to do for physical fitness and getting active and staying active, I'm not going to choose running because that is not something I would enjoy. Right. So that is something that you really have to look at when you're thinking about changes that you could make. What are the changes that you could make that you're going to enjoy or enjoy more than other changes? Don't pick something that you're like, oh, you know, for example, I really don't like steamed broccoli. So when I'm thinking about how I can eat that is going to be sustainable and aligned with my goals, I'm not picking steamed broccoli. Now, those are a couple food and exercise examples, but the same is true in business. Like, I really do not enjoy spending a lot of time on email. Therefore, I'm not going to think of a business strategy that requires a lot of email correspondence. So look at the thing that you are considering in terms of lasting changes. Do you need to make a different decision, or do you need to change your perspective? There are a lot of people that look at getting up without hitting snooze as like this awful thing that's so hard and, oh, I hate waking up and I wish I could sleep in. Well, there's a very, very different perspective available to you. So in that case, maybe it's not the decision itself. Maybe it's your perspective on it that's making you miserable. So really look at those two different things, but that is where I would suggest that you start.
Hmm. Very nice.
Very nice. Thank you.
Could also get and read Chasing Cupcakes.
That's a good one.
I hear that one's pretty good at about helping people affect lasting change.
Yeah, and having a good attitude about it.
Next. How do you recommend I ditch the majority of processed foods in my diet?
Slowly. Honestly, I see so many people, and I was one of these people, who go after it in an all or nothing kind of thing, like 21-day sugar detox or a Whole30. And look, nothing against those things. I've done them. And honestly, I see them having a purpose for a lot of people. This is just my opinion, and it's totally fine if you don't share it. But I think that those kinds of things are really great for people who very consistently eat clean, but want to go through, say, a detox period where it's not this huge lifestyle behavioral overhaul. For the people where it's like a very significant change for them to do something like that, and obviously I'm calling out two brand names, but any sort of like crash dieting, big shift in behaviors applies here. I'm not trying to pick on them at all. Anytime we do something like that, we're sort of biting off more than we can chew. And a lot of times what happens is you have like a last meal before you start this big thing. And then when the thing is over, you go and you do the same
celebratory meal.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, I can't wait till I can have the ice cream and the beer and the this and the that. That's really not helpful. That is right. That is the same thing as a crash diet. So if you want as a lifestyle to have minimal processed foods, then start looking to make small tweaks every day. there's something, and this came up in one of the Daily Mindset upgrades, or it's an upcoming Daily Mindset upgrade, I'm not sure. But Jill Coleman is a fitness business person, and one of the things she says in terms of working out is that the goal is not to have, you know, a perfect day or a series of perfect days. The goal is to string together as many imperfect but actionable days as possible. And I think that's really the same thing. It's true with nutrition. Stop going for the like, today was great because I had an egg white omelet for breakfast and a salad for lunch and I had grilled chicken and broccoli for dinner. We don't need to have five of those days a month. We need to have 30 days a month where we're doing a little bit better, where we're getting consistent, where we're making small improvements. So look for the small improvement. What is the small improvement that you're willing and able to make today with regards to processed foods? And then tomorrow, ask yourself the same exact question. It's a process of pursuing incremental improvements over and over and over and over and over. So start small, seek improvements, and don't stop.
Consistency with that.
There you go. Consistency with imperfection. Yeah. Imperfection with effort, not just imperfection checked out.
Right. That makes sense.
I try.
On days you don't get enough sleep, how do you manage eating healthy? Sounds ridiculous as I type this, but I struggle when I work 13 hours, come home, and work another three. I'm just exhausted, so I eat convenience food.
You know, okay, this is, so the bottom line here is what they're saying is when they work a lot and they're really tired, they turn to the convenience food, right? Because it's easy and it's accessible. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, and this goes back to the perspective that we talked about a few minutes ago, you can have healthy food that's convenient and as accessible. You can make healthy food more convenient and more accessible. So just last week, I went back to a meal delivery service that I had done. Actually, it's not really meals. It's like bulk food items. So pre-cooked grilled chicken, pre-cooked grilled steak, pre-cooked sweet potatoes. What?
I'm sitting here shaking my head up and down. Yes, like they can see me agreeing with you.
Sarah used to do that all the time on the podcast. So I went back to that because I found that I'm in this boat. I'm not getting a lot of sleep. Mm-hmm. Roman doesn't love yet to sleep independently. So I was at a point where even when he was napping on me and I'd have, you know, 5 minutes to pull something together and cooking was really tough. But I want to make this very, very clear. There is no doubt that unhealthy food can be convenient and accessible. But the fact is, we all can make good choices as healthy and as accessible with a little bit of preparation. Now, in my case, that was ordering stuff that came straight to my door. But there's also been other weeks. Roman was just a few days old when I cooked and laid out and prepped and put in containers separately grilled chicken and grilled turkey that I made myself.
Absolutely. The chicken salad. I mean, how am I supposed to help you when I'm sitting in the pool?
but the fact is, if you are seeing it as, oh, well, it's because, you know, I don't have time and I'm super, super tired, you can be super, super tired and have only healthy things available to you. I was just listening to a podcast before we came down here about what Ben Bergeron does with regards to his kids and treats and stuff. And he said, it's just not in the house. Right. Like for them, they can't be like, can I have a cookie? Can I have ice cream? Can I? They made the decision as parents, him and his wife, Heather, to not have that stuff in the house. And the fact is, you can do that for yourself. In this case, it's not about access to it. It's about convenience. Make it more convenient to make great choices. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Make a can of tuna fish and have it in a Tupperware ready to go that's super accessible. All you need to do is pull it out and have a fork.
Absolutely.
It's the same amount of effort as opening up a package.
Take 2 hours on a Saturday or Sunday and cook your food for your protein for the week.
And you don't even have to take that much time. Like, yes, if you can do that, absolutely do that. But even if you take 5 minutes to mix up some tuna fish with, you know, some celery or whatever else, or buy a bunch of pre-cooked chicken from the grocery store, or what I did several times is a rotisserie chicken already cooked, rip it to shreds, you have it there ready to go. The fact is, it can be as convenient and accessible to eat healthy if you make it so. Right now, it
and
is
inconvenient.
Yeah, it is right now.
You get a whole rotisserie chicken for like $6.
Yeah,
cooked.
It is inconvenient and inaccessible for me to indulge because I don't have the stuff here.
Right.
I would have to get in my car, pack up the baby, drive to the store, pick something, drive home. That I have made it inconvenient and inaccessible to eat unhealthy. And we all have that opportunity.
Yes, she has made it very inconvenient for me to eat unhealthy. And I think I'm going to write a letter to the manager.
Next question.
Business advice. How to work for yourself and get stuff done when there is no one to hold you accountable. How to be productive.
We've had this conversation a lot. Well,
you can hold you accountable. Get a buddy.
No. Remember when we had this conversation when you were starting out in real estate and you were saying that like what I had, I was living in the tiny house at the time and I would routinely get up at 4:30 in the morning every single day, 7 days a week. I would plow through my stuff and like that was harder for you.
That was
absolutely harder for you. And what I shared with Chris then, and I know I've said on the podcast before, I did not used to be the get up at 4:30 person when I, well, even before I started my business, when I was in high school, I homeschooled for a year, I think a full year, at least a semester, but I think it was a full year. And literally I would wake up at, you know, cause my mom would get up and go to work. I was home by myself cause I was in high school. I would sleep in till 10 or 11 and then I would watch daytime television. And then like when my mom would get home around 4, I would be at the table like looking like I had been working or whatever, but I hadn't gotten anything done. And when I started my business, for probably the first 6 months, I would wake up in the morning round about the time that my former husband would go to work, but I'd watch the previous night's television for like 3 or 4 hours. And I would just like, we had a DVR at the time. That's like, is that still a thing?
DVRs? Yeah, I think it is, but we don't have one.
No. But I would DVR shows because I would still go to bed early. And then I would watch them for, you know, till noon or one. And then I'd be like, oh, now I'm just kind of meh. You know, I don't really want to do anything. It's a practice. It is a practice. One of the things that really helps me now is knowing exactly what I'm going to do. Because what I found when I was starting out, and it is tricky when you don't have to be at a certain place at a certain time and you don't have anybody to answer to but yourself. What I would find is there was like 10 things that I could do. Which should I start with? Which should I do today? And none of them felt particularly urgent, especially when I was starting out in business. And a lot of it was like work that wasn't necessarily going to pay off right away. I wasn't having like big launches or things that were time sensitive. And so I would be like, well, I don't really have to do this today. This could wait until tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. So what I would start doing is, and I still do this, define exactly what I was going to do that day. And one critical thing is start small. You'll shoot yourself in the foot if you try to do this by like scheduling out an 8 to 5 day, hour by hour by hour, because if you're just a little bit like not on the ball or something takes a little bit longer and you feel like you've screwed it up, start by just saying like, these are the 2 things that I'm going to get done for work today. I do a lot of that now with Roman, because I'm used to a full work day, yeah, right? A more than full work day. And it can be really defeating to feel that sense of pressure. You know, now it's 11 a.m. and I haven't gotten any of this stuff done. So I now choose smaller objectives or fewer objectives. And oftentimes right now, both smaller and fewer. And you just commit to getting them done. Last night, I was sitting with my laptop in bed as I was putting him to sleep. You get it done when you have to get it done, but it's a combination of practice, expectations, and discipline. And you get a little bit better the more you do it. So just practice, like, what expectation will I set for myself today and what expectation will I keep, right? In what way will I practice discipline or consistency today? And then the other thing that really, really helps me, because it's a structured thing, is the Changemakers Journal. Mm. Have something that facilitates you establishing structure for yourself. I think we have one last question before the baby like loses his mind.
One more question here.
All right.
You mentioned that you have affiliate relationships with brands. How did you get the confidence to sell stuff? I'm afraid that people would be irritated with me. Well, let me tell you, people get irritated regardless. So you might as well make some money irritating them.
All right. I agree 100%. Okay. Let me start with the second part first. Like, Well, actually, let me start with what are affiliate relationships. So affiliate relationships basically means that a brand pays you to promote their stuff. So like one of the common ones in apparel is like a Lululemon ambassador. Mm-hmm. And they essentially give you a certain amount of product credit per month or per year. And in exchange, you talk about them, you tag them, whatever. So it essentially means you are compensated in some way, shape, or form, product credit, cash money, whatever, to represent or market for a company. Afraid that people would be irritated with me. This is how I see it. I only talk about products that I'm personally excited about. And my litmus test is this. Would I talk about this and share about this stuff even if they weren't compensating me to do so? If the answer is no, then I don't do it. I mean, I've gotten reached out to by a number of baby product companies, and I'm like, I wouldn't buy that.
Elizabeth's no shill for the man.
Yeah. I wouldn't ever say yes for the cash. Like, if it's something that I'm super, super excited about.
What if it was like $10 million a year?
You know what? Here's why the honest answer is no, because I think I would lose all trust with my audience. And so in the long term, not having a business isn't worth $10 million.
Integrity. I like it.
It's just also dollars, right? If I say yes to $10 million and it alienates my entire business, which has the earning power far more than $10 million, right, it's just not worth it. With that said, so be willing to really turn away money, and I do this every single week. Companies will say, hey, will you do a 30-second spot for this or this and this? And the answer almost every single time is no. Like, truly, probably 98% of the things that come my way, the answer is no. Because I wouldn't genuinely not only spend my own money about it, but be excited to talk about it. So when you operate that way, it's no different than, and I think I've used this example before, we had a party at our house. We had a pizza company come
Wolf
in and cater
pizza.
It.
Love them. Can't wait to use them again.
You moved your mic so far away from your face.
The headset might be moving around.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. I'm not an affiliate for them, but I'm going to talk about them. And if they came to me and said, hey, we'll give you a special code, and if people use it, you know, you'll get money back, I'd still talk about them just as much, because I've probably talked about them, honestly, 50 times.
Yeah,
in
just
the last
so you know,
month.
Wolf Pizza, reach out.
But and the reason I bring that up is because, is anybody ever going to get irritated with me for being like, hey, we had a really great catering experience with Wolf Pizza? No, because look, if they hate pizza, then they're just not going to look them up, right? But they're not going to be irritated with me because I've had a positive experience with a pizza company. It's just like if you talk about a movie that you've loved and I don't like movies, am I irritated that you've recommended it? No, I'm only irritated if you want me to go with you.
Fair enough.
So how did I get the confidence to sell stuff? I really see it as, like, I only talk about the things that I'm really genuinely excited about. With Midday Squares, perfect example, we were talking about at the start of the show. I reached out to them and said, hey, looks like you guys have an affiliate program. I bought your product with my own money, loved it. Can I be an affiliate? Now, I found a snack that is like a treat to me and I really enjoy it. I was going to share it with you guys whether they said yes or they said no to me. I share things that companies don't pay me for. Junk headbands. Hey, if you want to sponsor me, Junk, I've been talking about you for 7 years.
Still here.
They don't have an affiliate program that I'm aware of, but I love their headbands. I wear them all the time, so I talk about them. If you're being genuine and you know that you have something that somebody is going to like, and you're not like, hey, buy this. Hey, do me a favor, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't operate that way. So I just have total confidence that when I bring up something that, like, if I talk about Midday Squares and somebody says, like, oh, I don't like sweets, all right.
Cool.
That's fine. No big deal. That's how I feel about that. And honestly, like, I think it's my responsibility to have multiple streams of income. And all of those things, whether we're talking about real estate or we're talking about being an affiliate for a product or we're talking about 12 weeks to transformation, you have to have somebody on the other end of the deal to make money. Like, that's just the way it is. So I believe in making money for me and for you.
Yeah, she's not saying lie to anybody, not saying to misrepresent anything.
Well, and it's not even lying or misrepresenting. I'm also not trying to convince you to buy anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sharing things that I'm genuinely excited about.
Except for midday squares. They change your life.
I don't operate from the notion that, like, people are going to be annoyed by me.
No.
See, that comes from your framework. If you're operating from like, oh gosh, if I do this, people are going to be annoyed. You need to realize there's another story that you can tell. I know for sure. Somebody messaged me the other day because the first time I talked about midday squares, I said, hey, I've only tried the chocolate and the peanut butter. And somebody messaged me and said, oh, I'm going to buy them, but I'm allergic to peanuts or my daughter's allergic to peanuts. So I'm going to get the chocolate or the chocolate almond. I don't know which one. And she messaged me and she was like, oh my gosh, I didn't have high expectations, but these are amazing. So I operate from the perspective that like somebody is going to love this and really be grateful that I shared it with them, just like I was grateful that I saw it from the influencer, because now I have something that I really, really look forward to.
Right.
And that is the truth with everything that I talk about. So if you're operating from the assumption that like somebody's going to be annoyed with you, I would say you need to find another perspective.
Yeah.
That's
what
I
think about the people that'll be grateful. They heard it from you.
Yeah. And the people that aren't interested, it's like, how many ads do you see online? If you don't want to buy it, you just scroll past it.
Exactly.
All of these platforms exist for people to make money. So like, I don't know, if you think people are going to be annoyed, I think you can just do a little bit of perspective work there. All right. So our winner,
we have two winners.
No, we have one winner.
My email says two.
Well, I know, but it's only one. But they're getting two prizes.
Okay.
Two prizes, one winner, signed Chasing Cupcakes, signed Changemakers Journal, Jasmine Conrad. Jasmyn.
Oh,
interesting.
My.
Yeah. Very, very spicy spelling.
Jasmine
Conrad. You are the winner. Email me, Elizabeth@primalpotential.com. Let me know that you were the winner of episode 900. Make sure to include your mailing address. And if you want Chris to sign your stuff,
I will sign like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, I will sign it. That's kind of a joke. But, you know, hey, you never know. You never know. Jasmine might have a thing for you. She might be a fan. She might be a fan.
Only fans, folks. Only fans.
Oh, that's right. That's right. If you really want to make money. sorry. All right. We have an awake baby who has been very cooperative. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, he's smiling. All right. Everybody have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential Podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.